7:45 in St. Louis, at listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. It's his time. Buzz Aldrich filling in for Andy Bates. Andy is on vacation this week, but it is the normal time for a visit with Dr. Bob Weiss on a Monday morning. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners. I hope everybody's feeling wide awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, whatever that means. I guess that refers to a rabbit.
The cup of coffee or cup of tea probably woke a few people up this morning, right?
Well, actually, I have the coffee here in front of me, and I just went through reviewing a few things to bring all of your good time listeners on his time up on some of the things. And some of this is, you know, I always struggle a little bit with this, Buzz, because some of this stuff is rather repeatable, but it also tends to say, so this is the constant stuff that's going on in the field of what's called bioethics, life, what's right and wrong for human conduct and judgment. And it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And then how do we deal with this from a biblical viewpoint? We'll get to that at the end of a few minutes. But I have several things laid out here in front of me. I'll just kind of go through all four of these and then maybe pick out a couple to chat a bit about from the standpoint of what we believe, teach, and confess in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's one that I'm not sure I ever have brought this one up before, but researchers in the United States and in England want to do what they call embryo gene editing. For example, if you just take it sounds complicated, but everybody knows what an embryo is. We're talking about a fertilized egg, sperm and egg, that is made within the context of, I'm going to use it this way, within the context of marriage and the mother's womb. And we also know that this is made in petri dishes as well. Humans are made that way. So what they want to do is to try and edit the genetic material in the sperm and the egg before they come together to help eliminate certain quote-unquote genetic defects so that they don't have to destroy the embryos when they're tested after fertilization, which they can do. They can test embryos after fertilization for genetic defects, and what happens is that then those human beings are discarded in search of a quote-unquote more perfect child. That's done in every fertility clinic that I'm aware of. But this one, of course, would eliminate that. So that's one area of what they call embryogenetic gene editing, and people in embryo clinics are seeking licenses to do this. And I bring this up because this has been in various newspapers and magazines. The second one is people from Australia are traveling to the United States for sex selective in vitro fertilization. In other words, here's a quote. It's a woman wanting to have a daughter that's 80% of what we do. He said, this one guy did it, this one clinic. And so they come to the United States, and they pay a minimum of $15,000 per treatment to decide if they want a boy or they want a girl. Now, this, of course, gets into the whole issue of eugenics. That simply means negative eugenics. Good means good beginnings. In other words, we're not happy with having either a boy or a girl, as the Lord gives us and blesses us with. But we want to make our own decision. So this is really a contemporary Tower of Babel. You know, we're going to build our own little family the way we would be built and not take it the way God has brought it to us. So,
and this is some sort of a similar thing, I guess, genetic editing in a sense, trying to help them select which sex. Is that?
It's one of these things that some people, I know we've talked about this before a long time ago, but it is so troubling that we our current culture of moral decay or moral relativism, where it's up to you. You decide what you want to do, and you get what you want to get. This whole issue of autonomy, where you are alone to yourself, and the Bible is kind of looked at. Here you go, it's a good one, Buzz. A Denny's menu. You know, you take what you like, and you ignore the rest of it. And since they say, well, there's nothing in the Bible.
Oops, looks like we lost him off the line here. That does happen now and again.
Are you back?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
okay.
So what happens is that what I said is that people tend to look at this like a Denny's menu, the scriptures, and they say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about this, so I'll do this, but I won't do that. You know, I like this part of the menu, but I don't like this part of the Bible. And so since the Bible doesn't talk about sex selection, then we might as well just go ahead and do it because we're going to get what we want to get. Now, I realize that for some of your listeners, this gets into the whole issue of infertility, which is a very emotional area to get into. I don't understand it because my wife and I have been blessed with five children, and we didn't have this type of struggle. But I always caution couples when they get into this to be good stewards of the money that God has given to them, and especially when it comes to sex selection. The last one is one area that I'm not sure where this is on the platter of bioethics, but it's a phrase called transhumanism. And it's kind of like saying we're all humans, but means we want to cross the human barrier into creating people who are really more computer than human.
Hmm.
That means it's really not kind of like the RoboCop person, but it is kind of like putting computer chips into people's brains so that the computer chip enhances your ability to do things that you can't do before or to improve what you can do before. And this is called transhumanism. Many people look at this as sort of a realistic zombie approach, but in general, they want to improve people to extend their lives, their quality of lives, into pushing almost really eternity. But and so this whole transhuman business is being used in the Artificial Institute of Intelligence and also NASA. They're looking into use of computers. Some use of computers can be very beneficial for Parkinson's and Alzheimer's patients, they have found. But that's treatment. This is not enhancement. Means I want to be better than I am. Again, we're back to the biblical example of the Tower of Babel. We want to be able to live longer and do more things, and we want to be able to take things and improve our life and hopefully prevent other diseases if we are more computer than human. Now, there was a movie out a long time ago called Virtuosity where Denzel Washington was in, and that's precisely what happened. And there have been other movies out like this. So it's just one of these areas that come back to what does it mean to be human? You know, would a person with computer chips in them, where the computer chip is basically running their brain more than they are running their brain, are they human or are they more robot? And in the context of that, there's a young lady in Arizona that is going to move to Oregon to go through physician-assisted suicide and then have, I'm not trying to be gory here, but this is what she is looking for. She has terminal brain cancer, and she has chosen to freeze her head, called cryonics, with the hope of coming back to life in a more technologically advanced future, meaning a transhuman. And so this whole issue of transhumanism has led her to believe that if she freezes her head after she dies, then she can come back after it's reconnected to something like a RoboCop person, then she will be able to be more technologically advanced. So all of this stuff, Buzz, when people hear this on his time in the morning, they either have to be saying, I got to go back for some more coffee. But if Bob Weiss just say what I thought he would say, when there's other issues out there. And again, I would encourage them to go back to the basics of the scriptures. What does it mean to be human in Christ? And back to the study of creation. Very, very basic apostolic teachings that we have in the Bible. So these are the things that are out in front, and I'm just always concerned about what are our grandkids and other children, nieces and nephews, going to be involved with when they read this. They think, boy, this is really cool. And where's the Bible in their lives, living the life of Christ in this world?
Yeah, it's a difference between, I guess, what we had 40, 50, 60 years ago with the, you know, everybody wrote science fiction, but now we're looking at people who've done so much research, they're trying to turn the science fiction into science fact for them, and it crosses beyond what we would have believed, you know, I think the general public thought 50 years ago, which was, this will never happen, and God won't let it.
Yes, and he certainly is allowing a lot of this. And people say, why is he allowing this? And I don't know. I personally think that what happens is that you have people like me and you at his time and Andy and other people that have the opportunity to discuss this and bring us back down to ground zero, where it says, get back into the Bible and learn what God in Christ has done for us, what it means to be blessed by God in Christ, and to struggle through our suffering, whatever that might mean to a lot of people who are listening, and to know that God's grace is sufficient. And it does cause us to say, and this is kind of a summation here, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and those are them that testify to Jesus Christ. So, people have to get back into their Bible and say, how does the Bible deal with this stuff? Because it doesn't talk about this stuff. But it does talk about creation, you know, that we're redeemed Christians to live the life of Christ in this world and to witness Jesus Christ. This is what we're here for, is to plant the seed into water and God will cause the growth.
Well, how can people read about these things? Is there somewhere where these stories come out, or a resource that can help people?
Yeah, there are actually two of them. One is called, and this is a very conservative website. They get into some of this issue with Planned Parenthood, called TheFederalist.com. TheFederalist.com. That's one. And then the other one is BioEdge.org. So TheFederalist.com and BioEdge.org will help them see some of these things that are going on. And then neither one of these are theologically based. That is to say, you get into scripture with these. But what this does for me is to push me into the Bible to say, how does this fit into the scriptures? That's how science should be. Is the science the handmaiden of the scriptures? And that's what they need to be focused on when they look at these things.
One of the nice things about doing this segment on bioethics is you are an ordained pastor from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You teach all the time, and you bring us from this, what people would think just so fanatically science fiction,
right,
into the reality of people really discuss this, that science has gone so far forward that people think this is the way, and, well, we all know it's not.
No, and that's a good way to put it. You know, the way is Jesus, and I think that all of this stuff, I was up in up in Henning, Minnesota, northeastern Minnesota, at a retreat center, the Lutheran Island Retreat Center, and talked about how do you deal with this in a public square. Well, a public square is basically not a location. It's just where people are gathering from a Christian viewpoint to learn what's happening out in the world. And then, is this fitting into the scriptures? And sometimes we don't know, but we do always have the answer that Christ remains answered to unanswerable questions. So that's kind of where we're focused.
Well, thank you once again, Dr. Weiss, for bringing us back to where we should be.
Okay, God's peace to you and your listeners, Buzz. Bye-bye.
Peace to you as well. Dr. Bob Weiss, regular Monday, his time segment on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. More coming up after the news at the top of the hour.